Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to Show Me the Science, my weekly podcast, when I dig into something that happens to be of interest to me, and it might be in the news and various things. And this week, I'm going to cover the science of winter sports. Now, it's in our minds because the Olympics has just been, and we all watched skiers and all kinds of things on the telly. You can read about the physics of curling, for instance. I'm not going to talk about that because it's too complicated. But a couple of things came up, actually, that are relevant to anybody who might be thinking about going skiing or taking up a winter sport. A couple of things that are rather unusual happened in the Olympics, and I like the quirkiness of this. And I'm picking this because I have worked on these two things in my own time in the context of inflammation and inflammatory diseases, actually, which I'll explain. So I know a bit about this. And when I read about them, I said, I'll do the podcast on this. And it's rather peculiar because the two things are as follows. Get ready for this. The first is a thing called hyaluronic acid. Now, hyaluronic acid is a very important component in your joints. So, for example, in your cartilage, it covers the cartilage. It's like the body's shock absorber, really, hyaluronic acid. And guess where it's being used? It was injected into the penis of ski jumpers. Now, I know that sounds a bit weird, but I'll explain what was going on there. And the second thing is broccoli. And you might wonder, what the hell is broccoli doing in winter sports? Well, broccoli is very rich in chemicals called isothiocyanates. And winter Olympians were drinking very concentrated juice of broccoli. And broccoli activates a thing called NRF2. Now, there's a mouthful for you. And I work on NRF2. And when you trigger NRF2 in the muscle, your muscle repairs more quickly. So anybody who does high-impact exercise, the idea here would be take an NRF2 activator and it'll help your muscle recover and you can go skiing again the next morning or whatever it is you're doing, you know. So these two things came up in the Winter Olympics and I read about them and I thought I'd tell you all about them. Now, let's begin with hyaluronic acid. This is rather peculiar. And I'd like to say, just in case anybody's going to sue us, this is alleged what was going on here. So what was alleged was ski jumpers, those guys who go down the ski jump at pace and then fly through the air and try and land far away, allegedly were injecting hyaluronic acid into a very private part of their bodies. Now you might wonder, why were they doing that? Well, it's all about the ski suit. And there's very strict rules. It's a bit like the swimmers who have to wear certain types of trunks when they swim. If it's too slick, you might go too fast, you know. In this case, the ski suit is everything. It's got to be made of certain fabric. It's got to be tight to the body. And then you go down the slope or whatever it is, and you go through the air and you land, right? So it's all about the ski suit. And guess what they were doing? The injection of hyaluronic acid caused their member, we'll call it, to swell up. Now, they were then fitted with their ski suits, and this usually happens 3 or 4 weeks before the Olympic event. And so the suit is put on, it's fitted into place very carefully. The suit comes off, and by the time the Olympics comes around, the hyaluronic acid, a natural substance, has been broken down, and their penis returns to normal. And what that means is a bit more fabric in the ski suit. Now, you might think this is ridiculous, but this has been scientifically tested. An extra 2 centimetres of material in a ski suit will help you fly through the air more effectively because it's a bit like a parachute. That extra bit of material will catch the air as you're flying, as it were. You know, you jumped off the end of the ski jump thing and then you fly through the air. And it can mean as much as 5 metres, they're saying, in distance, simply by having this extra bit of material. Now, is it true? Well, certainly hyaluronic acid will have that effect. And as I mentioned, it is part of your joints, it's in cartilage. And the reason why it is in cartilage is that it absorbs loads of water. It's a jelly-like substance. And in fact, hyaluronic acid will carry 1,000 times its weight in water. Isn't that amazing? So this stuff basically sucks up water and forms a jelly-like substance. And if you look at the end of your bones, it's all shiny and jelly-like. It's hyaluronic acid is in the end of the bones. And I worked on it because it gets broken down in arthritis. And there are enzymes, they're called hyaluronidases, that eat away at the hyaluronic acid and chew away at the cartilage, and that's osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis, where your joints are wearing away, very painful, diseases, and it's partly to do with the breakdown of this stuff. And I worked on studying that. The fragments that come off actually are pro-inflammatory. They irritate the body in various ways. This has been studied for quite a while. Now, let's go back to the ski jumpers. Remember, they inject it in. It's like a jelly-like substance. The suit goes on, and then eventually, you know, it's worn away by the body, and now the suit has that extra bit of material, and they fly through the air a bit further. And as I say, it seems bizarre, but that's what's being claimed here. It's controversial because is it a type of doping? And the doping agency is looking at this now to see if this is a type of cheating. It's not like regular doping, is it? Which is some sort of drug that enhances performance. But this certainly enhances performance in terms of flying through the air. So they're wondering now, should they ban this and look at it more closely? At the moment, it's not banned. The other thing to say would be, you may have heard of hyaluronic acid in skin creams. It's commonly used in those really expensive creams you can buy to rub into your skin because it provides hydration to the skin. It makes the skin more supple. It's actually used to fill in cracks in the skin lines. And there's evidence for this. And it does get broken down. So it's a common ingredient in expensive skin creams, is a thing to point out here. And again, it kind of works a bit. This business of injecting it, though, to allow a ski suit to have extra material is a little bit left field, shall we say. We'll see if it gets banned eventually. Now, the second story that really intrigued me was this broccoli business. Now, this is true, this one. You can buy supplements that are full of broccoli juice, basically highly concentrated broccoli juice, and you'll get these in health food shops. And one particular one was being used by Olympians that are doing these winter sports. And the big question is, why would you bother doing this? Well, for a very long time, it's been known that broccoli is good for you. And your mother or father or whoever might have told you, eat your greens. Because it turns out that green vegetables and things like broccoli in particular actually are rich in things called isothiocyanates. Now there's a mouthful literally when you eat the stuff. ITCs for short. One of them is called sulforaphane, and that's in broccoli. Now what does this do? Again, this would have been shown 30, 40 years ago, I guess. This stuff would trigger a thing called NRF2. Now NRF2 is like an on switch in your body. It gets flipped and it protects tissue. So it's like a tissue protector. And in particular, it's very good at leading to the mopping up of what are called oxygen radicals. Now, oxygen radicals are made when you exercise. They're like a byproduct of your using your muscles, and they damage tissue, oxygen radicals. You may have heard of antioxidants, and in fact, ITCs are antioxidants because they trigger this NRF2 pathway to boost antioxidant defenses in your body. And this is really well worked out. Lots of labs are working on this, including our lab, because in many diseases, you get too much oxygen radicals, too many oxygen toxic byproducts are made, and they're inflammatory, and this might be a way to limit them. Now, this stuff then definitely does this. It triggers NRF2. Now, why were the sports people using it? Well, when you take exercise and you use your muscles, especially high impact exercise, the muscles get a little bit inflamed and you develop what are called micro tears in the muscle. And this can cause pain, first of all. Secondly, it makes the muscle less effective, right? So any way to limit that or help the muscle repair could be beneficial in this context. And that's exactly what they're doing here. They're taking the broccoli juice. It's going into their muscles. It's boosting NRF2, and that is helping the muscle to repair from the exertion, if you like, because the muscle is full of reactive oxygen as a result of all the exercise, and you're dampening all that down, and that's having a net anti-inflammatory effect, which means the muscles start to repair. Now, again, this is proven to be the case, and in fact, many drug companies are trying to come up with ways to drive NRF2 very strongly. And a couple of companies I'm involved in have got very, very potent molecules that really kick up NRF2, much more potent than the broccoli juice does. Now, the broccoli juice does it, but of course you could get something even more potent. And there's trials beginning in diseases where there's too much inflammation. Ulcerative colitis is a big one they're talking about, and multiple sclerosis, those two. And again, there's evidence if you boost NRF2, it dampens the inflammation in the brain or wherever it might be in the gut in colitis and has a beneficial effect. And there are trials running at the moment with drugs that do this very thing. So the sound science behind this, it must be said. Now, going back to the athletes, who takes it most? It turns out people who have repeat events. So some of those events, you have 3 or 4 goes at it. And then you go again, you know. They're the ones who are taking it because they go the first time, then they'll take a swig of this stuff, and then it helps their muscle get more effective, I suppose, and more it gets repaired. And now they're good to go for the second go. And it's all about timing. These events are obviously about timing as well. The slalom, for instance, you know. So those are the guys who are using it to try and help them recover more quickly from the exertion that they've been through in the first go. But anybody who does take exercise of any kind, including in any winter sport, and as I was saying, you might be going off on your ski trip or whatever, a bit of broccoli juice will help your muscles recover from the exertion, you know, and it's certainly pretty safe. Now, what was clever here was, I noticed, you drink 50 mils of it. So it's a shot, literally in a shot glass, actually, is what they take it in, right? To get the same bang for your bucks, if you know what I mean, you'd need to have four big broccoli heads eat them. Now, nobody wants to do that. Let's face it, it's a bit difficult. But this stuff is like you've squashed up four broccoli heads and extracted the juice out of it and concentrated it, and now you swig it. Now, one negative is it tastes atrocious. And anybody who hates sprouts will know this, because guess what? It's also in sprouts. These isothiocyanates, they're in what are called cruciferous vegetables, and they include things like broccoli, cabbage, sprouts, all the stuff your mother told you to eat that you hated because you didn't have the flavour. The flavour's coming off these isothiocyanates. There's a sulfur group here. Thio means sulfur. It's a bit like eating rotten eggs. That's why the flavour is so bad, you know. And one athlete was asked about this, and he said it tasted like drinking mustard and wood. I don't know how you got to do it. You mix up mustard with a bit of wood, but he said the flavour was terrible. The manufacturers are putting in lemon juice and sugar to soften the blow of drinking this horrible stuff. But you neck it down in a shot, it shouldn't be too bad, I guess. But it's not for the faint-hearted, obviously, this sort of thing, because, you know, the taste is terrible. But as I say, there would be some evidence for this. Now, it's been criticised slightly because there haven't been proper trials done. The studies on these concentrates are a bit limited. And that can often be the case with these herbal type things, because no drug company wants to do trials with them because they can't make enough money out of them, is one reason, right? So in other words, you sometimes don't see the best of evidence behind them. But certainly, given that we know about NRF2, we know this stuff drives it very hard, you can infer that it probably is going to work and have some protective effect on the muscle. But as I say, scientifically, you'd like to see a bit more evidence to support that, is the overall idea here. And as I say, you can go to your health food shop, you can find these NRF2 activators. And meanwhile, of course, broccoli itself is worth taking because it's full of vitamins. Vitamin C, that's a great vitamin, obviously, for your connective tissue anyway. You need vitamin C for good collagen. If you don't get vitamin C, you get scurvy, which means your collagen breaks down, your teeth fall out because your gums don't form. Vitamin K, very rich in that. That's very important for blood clotting. And if you're vitamin K deficient, you'll have problems with your blood clotting if you scrape yourself or whatever. And then there's great minerals, as we call them, potassium, calcium, magnesium is in broccoli as well. So it really is a fantastic food that brings all these benefits, as do indeed all these cruciferous vegetables. So maybe the advice would be go and eat some broccoli if you can. If you can't eat four heads of broccoli, maybe consider taking a swig of this stuff and it might actually work. Now again, the question here is, does this constitute doping? Now, it's natural, you know, and it's like taking a food supplement. But still, they're looking at it and wondering, well, look, if you're an athlete who can afford, it's expensive to buy. So the question is, if you have a bit more money and you get an advantage over someone else by drinking something, that may not be the best. So at the moment, some people are considering whether it should be banned. Hard to see it being banned, because that means other foodstuffs could be banned, I guess. But even still, it's being examined. The only thing to say, as far as I can make out, the ones who've taken it haven't necessarily won the medals either. So it's not as if this is the way to beat a competitor. At least the evidence isn't there for that at the moment. So again, the beneficial effects then are somewhat sort of being questioned, you might say. And as time goes by, we'll see if these things work more and more. If you are going off for your winter holiday, it won't do you any harm to take some of this stuff, and you might actually mean that your muscles ache less and you might feel better for your next day on the slopes or whatever it is you're doing. So as I say, we wouldn't be against this necessarily, as long as you're not being ripped off for the price of it. But that is it, the science of isothiocyanates and the science of broccoli extracts. And as I say, two of the quirkier stories from the Olympics, I'll tell you what they are again. Hyaluronic acid injections into the penis and drinking highly concentrated broccoli juice. Consider these, if you wish, at your peril. So there you have it, the science of winter sports. And thanks as ever for listening. And of course, my podcast is a new stock production, available every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.